May the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. In one of his books, the preacher Ravi Zacharias tells the story of a little boy from an orphanage overseas. This orphanage still is in operation. And this orphanage serves abandoned children, children with physical challenges and other developmental problems. And it provides them with treatment, and then it tries to find them a home where they can be loved and cared for. And one young boy in this orphanage was passed over year after year after year because he has a very rare cognitive difficulty. And at age 9, he began to grow despondent. In fact, they were worried that he was depressed. Because every month, week after week, this poor kid had to watch while one of his housemates would be selected by a family and then taken from the home to begin his or her new life. Why didn't anyone want him? Now, through a blessed series of events, a couple from Texas, this couple had actually already adopted a little child from this same orphanage, at the time that they were really beginning to worry about this 9-year-old boy. This couple calls and they say, "Is this little boy still up for adoption?" And at the time that the book was published, Zacharias' book was published, the adoption papers had been completed. A date had been set for this little boy to join his new family in the States. And in fact, this little boy had received from his adoptive parents his new name. His given name was unpronounceable in English. And as soon as this little kid got the news of his new name, he would go around telling everyone, we're going to call him AJ, short for Anson Josiah. He would say, "My name is AJ. You can call me AJ. My mom and dad call me AJ." And everyone on staff at the orphanage was astounded that this little boy with so many cognitive difficulties was able to retain this piece of information. And it's probably because he had been grasped by the redeeming power of being claimed, of being wanted, of belonging. And I think our readings this morning speak in different ways about what it means to be claimed. The gospel reading is very familiar. It's the story of Jesus' baptism. The Old Testament one probably needs a little bit of explanation. The passage that Doris read for us from Isaiah was written around 6 BCE to the Jewish people who were living in exile. Now, the Jews had been through some pretty turbulent waters for really a long time. They had been taken into exile by the Assyrians, and then it continued under the Babylonians. And if we want to get a taste of what they went through, there's a series of stone reliefs. It's called the Lachish reliefs, and you can see them still today in the British Museum in London. I'm not going to describe what's on those stone carvings because there's kids in church. I am just going to tell you that those stone panels were big enough to fill the room of the Assyrian king, and it's where he would receive visiting dignitaries, and the purpose was to scare them. And the scene was of the destruction of the Jewish city of Lachish, and it was about as horrible as any of the news that we hear in the evening news. In exile, first under the Assyrians, later the Babylonians, the Jews suffered less trauma. But we get a taste of the kind of sorrow and loss that they lived with in Psalm 137. Lots of songs have been made, especially by slaves in the States. "By the waters of Babylon, by the rivers of Babylon, we lay down and wept." So it's to these people who have suffered much, whose past has been marred by disaster, that God speaks these beautiful words of hope in Isaiah. God talks of a future that is so good for the Jews that they will dry their tears and weep no more. It's a good future because it's reliable, because the Lord their God will be with them. And I don't know if you caught it, but it's the same language of belonging that breathes hope, brought hope to little AJ in his own life. That language of being claimed by someone that moved little AJ out of his depression. And I'm going to read the words to you again. "Do not fear, God says, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." This is the work that God has been doing throughout history, which is the work of claiming people. It's the work of taking people who are captive to a bitter or a hopeless past and offering them a new and a good future. And the way into that new future is never alone, but it's through being claimed by someone who loves us, by someone who has the power to make a new beginning for us and with us. It's Baptism Sunday here at Christ Church. Today we're going to be welcoming little Andre into the household of faith. And as part of this service, we're going to have the chance to renew our own baptismal promises. It also happens that we're remembering Jesus' baptism, and in our gospel reading, we're reminded that God's reclamation process, that claiming people and giving them a new life and a new future, that project is perfected and it's completed in Jesus the Redeemer. As Christians, we believe that just as God identified Jesus as his son, that God adopts you and me, and God claims you and me as his own, as his beloved. Paul Tillich, the theologian, said, "This is salvation." That's salvation. It's not something you earn. It's something that you are given. It's the grace of belonging, of being claimed, just like the gift that of love that AJ's parents opened for him a new life and a better future. In the same way, God promises to open for each one of us a good future through Jesus. Author Elise Fitzpatrick says that what happens to believers at their baptism is kind of like a strange case of identity theft. So, you know, when somebody steals your identity, they take your identity and act in the world as though, you know, they're Dennis or Jennifer. In salvation, what God does is, as Christians, we're taking on Jesus' identity. Except that we're not stealing that identity. We're gifted that identity through faith and through baptism. And in fact, Jesus invites us to steal everything in his bank account, to use up his bank account, and to enjoy all the benefits that having his identity gives us. And some of those benefits include redeeming our past, giving us a fresh beginning. And I don't know what that would look like for each one of us. I think being held captive to the past looks different for each person. But maybe it's something as simple as a child, you were given a script. You were told that you were never good enough, or that you were not wanted, that you were less loved. And God frees us to discover our real identity in him, the identity he gives us, the name he gives us, which is my beloved child. Or maybe we've done things in our past that we really regret. It's true that there are always consequences to our actions, but God promises us that he can redeem the waste and the ruins of our lives. I think the real question is always for us, are we continuing to trust God, that God can and will do something new in our lives, and that God will continue to build for us a good and a better future? And in the present, we have the comfort of a God who is with us. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, the Lord God says. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. That's from our passage from Isaiah and Isaiah 43. And I have rehearsed those words on more than one occasion when I felt like I was drowning in problems or going through fiery trials. Notice that the life of faith doesn't spare us troubles, right? There will still be rivers to ford. There will still be fires to go through. But the assurance is that as we go through life's trouble, we are never alone. Instead, we go with a God who promises us that we will not lose what matters most. So if you're here this morning and you are going through troubles right now, then I encourage you to read through these words from Isaiah 43, verses 1 to 7 today, and to lay claim to those promises as both a word of comfort to you and as God's strong word to hope. And in both the present and the future, the benefits that we gain from Jesus is also one of being transformed, transformed into this beautiful new identity he gives us at our baptism, a process that will be only made complete on the day that we cross that final river with Jesus and as we enter into God's eternal presence. I remember hearing the story of a man. I can't remember who told me this story. It was probably a colleague. Anyways, there was this old guy. He and his... I have to be careful. So, young at heart, still young guy, celebrating his 50th wedding anniversary with his wife. And he was talking about how that love had changed him. His wife was Elizabeth. It was one of those very happy marriages. Now, in his youth, he had been a bit of a scoundrel, sowing his wild oats, that expression. He was sort of in that camp. And then he met Elizabeth. And Elizabeth was kind and sweet and good. And that goodness changed him. She was so good to him. And he said that he found he wanted to start living up to her love. And because of her love, he said he really changed his ways. He gave up all his many bad habits. Again, I won't go into them. And then he said, finally, we were married. I've spent my whole life trying to make Elizabeth as happy as she made me. The truth is, my wife loved me into loving. And I've never forgotten that. My wife loved me into loving. And I think that's part of our baptismal calling as well that we're remembering this morning. Having been claimed by someone special, we're then called to become the special person that God calls us to be. As Christians, the something special that we're called to do is to be like Christ in our world. Having taken on Jesus' identity, we are called to be as Christ to our neighbors. Having been loved, we are loved into loving. The great Protestant reformer Martin Luther used to call on his people and the lay people to remember their baptism whenever they wash themselves. Now, remember, this was in the days when they wash maybe once or twice a year, so it's maybe not practical for us to try and remember our baptism every single time we shower. However, it's not a bad idea. I encourage you this week, whenever you shower, whenever you take a bath, to remember your baptism, just as we're remembering our baptism today. And when you think about being a baptized follower of Jesus, remember these words from Isaiah, and claim them for yourself. And these are the words to hold on to. I will not fear, for God is with me. I will not fear, for God is with me. He has called me by name, and I am his. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Loving Lord God, we thank you for the gift of being claimed and of belonging. I thank you for the gift of families, and today we give you thanks especially for the Molinaro family. I thank you for the love that I see in this family and that they have claimed and loved their two boys. Father, for all of us, for those who have perhaps not been loved well in our natural families, we give thanks that you claim us and that we belong to you, that you have called us by name and that we are yours. We thank you that because you are with us, we do not need to fear, but that you have opened and continue to open for us a good future and a sure hope through Jesus your Son. Help us today to be glad and to rejoice for your great goodness to us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.